Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.
The Dead Set Legends are back in 2020.
How excited are you?
Join former St Kilda champion Joey Montagna.
Jumping out the way, Joey Montagna.
Footy journo Jay-Z Clark.
Sugar Ray Leonard was a great boxer. I'm Sugar Jay, so that was sort of a clever play on words.
And horse racing royalty Emma Freeman.
There's something about having a short reach and, you know, just not being very big. So.
It's everything you need to kickstart your weekend.
I'm up and about today.
We are live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We're not live at the moment. We wanted to bring a bit of fun and reminisce about those good old times and really dive into some of our favourite moments in sport ever, the greatest in history. And for cricket fans, well, it's hard to go past this one.
First ball in Test cricket in England for Shane Warne. And he's done it. He started off with the most beautiful delivery. Gatting has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. He still doesn't know.
I mean, in retrospect, the call was quite subdued,
wasn't
I think,
it?
For such a massive moment. 93, Old Trafford, Shane Warne bowling to Mike Gatting in Warney's first ball in Test match cricket. Welcome to the show, Warney. Great to have you on. Do you get sick of hearing about that?
Good morning, Emma. No, look, it's something that changed my life and was pretty amazing time, and it was pretty special. So, no, I never get sick of it. No, play it again.
Warney, would you say that was your best ball that you ever bowled? I mean, it's hard to say because you bowled so many balls, but that one, did that surprise you how good that came out, especially being your first delivery in an Ashes match?
Yeah, it was, look, it was amazing because I never ever did it again. So, you know, I never did something like that again. So, you know, for the your first ever ball in Ashes series and the build-up of, you know, growing up as a kid watching all the Ashes series, being involved in your first ever Ashes series, bowling to the best player of spin in the opposition, you've got Graham Gooch staring at you at the non-striker's end, you're standing at the top of your mark about to bowl your first ball and to bowl, you know, what every leg spinner wants to do, bowl a perfect leg break. First ball, it was... yeah, it was pretty amazing. So yeah, I wish I had done it a few more times.
I remember where I was that night.
Do you?
Yes, I do. That was so clear for me. I was a young leggy at the time, and I was watching you every
move.
Oh,
here we go. Here we go.
Warnie, I mean, I don't want to take the conversation away from the greatest spin bowler.
Go on, do it.
But that, it was such a memorable event for me. What? Tell us about the 30 seconds after, Warnie. So you know, Heels is going nuts behind the stumps. All the boys come in. What is the conversation right at that moment?
Well, it was interesting because it was the first ever series that you had the big screens at cricket grounds.
Yep.
So it was 1993, and I think it was the Citron big screen at the cricket grounds. They sort of temporarily just wheeled them in, and we sort of were Heels goes, that was pretty good. I said, oh, yeah, that was... And he goes, let's check it out. I said, what? He said, yeah, let's have a look. So we were looking up on the big screen, and we watched it, and I went, oh, shit. Oh,
that was good.
That was good.
That was bloody good. And that was, yeah, so it was one of those things that I suppose when you get back into the change room and you're sort of sitting around, then after day's play, you know, the TV's on in the background or whatever, and it's just on, just kept replaying. Everyone just kept replaying it all the time. And you, so the more times you watched it, it sort of got better. And
yes.
Better. So, yeah, it was, but that was, it really did change my life, that, because suddenly in England, everywhere we went then, because that was the first test, and we used to play six tests, and it was 6 months tour to England. It was never, not like now, where it's only 6 weeks or 5 or 6 weeks. It was 6 months. And so everywhere we went, and we used to play two tour games in between test matches. So you'd finish your test match, get on the bus, go and play a tour game, then another tour game, then go to the next test and keep playing. So everywhere we went, everyone was, the English press was interested in what I was doing. Away from cricket. So it was the first time at 23 years of age, I was exposed to 20, 30 photographers following me around everywhere I went, stuffing my face with hot chips or having a beer at the pub or whatever I was doing. It was suddenly in the papers, and you'd pick up the papers and say, 10 things you didn't know about Shane Warne. I was looking at it going, shit, I didn't know that about myself either.
So that's when Warney started getting recognised, Jay-Z. That's when it all started for Warney. Shane, what about the other memorable moment for me? And we'll take a listen to this. Boxing Day 2006, 90,000 people.
Yep.
Let's play the audio.
Scott Strauss.
Bit more life in that commentary. Where does that one rate for you, Warnie? How does that one sit? We get 700 on Boxing Day of all places.
Yeah, I had a good script writer most of my career because, I'd retired from international cricket at the MCG just before Christmas, and it was the last time I was ever going to play at the MCG in front of my family and my friends because there was nothing like a home test match. And, with having my children there, and seeing the build-up, being on 699 wickets about to play your last ever test match in front of your kids and 90,000 of your closest friends, it was one of those moments that was pretty special. It was really, really special to be able to do that. It's such a great time of year. It's Christmas, everyone's happy, you've got your family and all that. And then the Boxing Day test match is the biggest day of the sporting calendar for cricket in Australia. So, yeah, it was pretty amazing to do it on Boxing Day in front of so many people. And that noise was still the loudest roar I've ever heard when I played.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, Wayne, did you have adrenaline there? Because it looked like the way you celebrated. You must have had a shot of adrenaline or something run through the body at that moment.
Yeah, it's you never plan a celebration because you don't know. The situation of the game generally dictates how, if you're right on top and doing really well, you don't really celebrate that well. It's like, yep, okay, well, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But when things aren't going that well or it's something special or it's something that's happened that's pretty good, it sort of brings out the best in you and suddenly you just have this eruption of happiness and adrenaline and everything and, I end up running around. I don't know what I was doing, but I just kept running around.
It doesn't matter.
It was the furthest I'd ever run, so I had to catch my breath.
Our special guest this morning is the king of spin, Shane Warne, who we've been going through some of his career highlights as we reminisce about some of our favourite cricket moments over the year. We've talked about the Gadding Ball. We've talked about the 700th wicket at the MCG. But, Warnie, any other highlights in your mind that I guess sit at the top for maybe a different reason to those other two?
Yeah, look, I was lucky enough to play in an era of Australian cricket that was pretty special. We had, the early 90s to sort of that 95, those sort of 5 years there when we had all the old guys. I was the first young guy into that side. So, there's a couple of the highlights for me personally, away from the team stuff, was when I first walked out onto the SCG, my first test match, and walking out to bat and looking up on the scoreboard and saying, I said, congratulations, Shane Warne, you're the 350th test cricketer to play for Australia.
Mm. Yeah.
And I thought, as I was walking out, I thought, geez, that's not many. Mm. Only 350 people over 100 odd years and more have only had 300 odd players to play cricket for Australia. I thought, geez, I was sort of lucky and no one could ever take that away from me. So that was sort of a special highlight because I never thought I was good enough to play for Australia in international cricket. So that was one. And another one was the 92 Boxing Day test match against the West Indies. I'd struggled for the first 18 months or so in international cricket. I'd been dropped a couple of times. I hadn't really delivered it at all. And we're playing against the West Indies, the best side in the world. I hadn't lost a series for 15 years. And the West Indies needed, I can't remember exactly, it was 300 and something to win on the last day. And they were cruising. They were, they're only one wicket down for, say, 90 or 100 or something, and it was just before lunch. And Alan Border threw me the ball. And you know what it's like when you first play at top level, you never really want to take a risk. You just want to not make a mistake and not embarrass yourself. So you do everything pretty cautiously. And then as you sort of start to play a bit more, you take a few more risks, and then you're prepared to back yourself a bit more. And so this was a situation where I'd been written off. I didn't really believe I was good enough. And then suddenly the situation of the game dictated we needed a wicket. And Alan Border threw me the ball to take a wicket. And I set Richie Richardson up for a flipper. And I thought, I'm going to try and land this. I'm going to try one. So I set him up for it. Then I bowled it and I landed it and it bowled him. And it bowled Richie Richardson. And then I went on to take 7 for 52 that test match.
Yeah.
And so that was the first time I actually believed that I was good enough at that level. And that was, so that meant a lot to me. And then from then on, you know, things were pretty good, because once you believe you're good enough for that level, you can
always
achieve some pretty special things.
And the flip of the one that keeps straight and low. That was great. I loved the hanging off every word then, Warnie. But one thing I've always wanted to know, I remember being sort of going to cricket training in October, every year, back page of the Herald Sun. Australian spin king Shane Warne is prepared to unleash a devastating new mystery ball on the hapless Sri Lankan batting order. It was the first par, and then we'd be at the back of the nets. Oh, here, Warnie's got a new ball. Warnie's got does this top spinner? Is it go the other way? What does he go underground? What does he? Did you ever have the mystery ball, or did you do it just to completely scare the crap out of the poor Sri Lankans or the Kiwis or whoever it was? Was it all just a big ploy, Warnie?
I only ever came up with one new delivery, because there's only so many things you can do as a leg spinner. But I used to say all that sort of stuff, because people would say, what a load of rubbish. And then suddenly you'd bowl a delivery and it'd have natural variation. There was something that would go straight when you're meant to bowl at a leg break. And they'd say, well, hang on.
That was the one.
He's
break.
A genius.
Oh, the zipster.
Hang on, he's got something. He's got a new one. So I'd say, yeah, it was the Zudder or something like that. You know.
Very clever.
I used to come up with one, but only once. When I played county cricket for Hampshire in the year 2000, they used the Duke ball, and that's the one we used to use in the Ashes series. But playing county cricket in April, it was freezing cold, and it used to rain. So there's a lot of, you'd play cricket and drizzle, and the ball would get wet. So it was hard to bowl proper leg breaks, and the lacquer on the ball was hard to grip when it got wet or damp. So I tried to bowl it. I came up with this new straight ball, which I end up calling the slider, which is actually true. And that was just because of the lacquer and mucking around with a ball and just trying to experiment how to bowl a different straight one so I could get some grip on the ball. And I came up with this straight one. So that for the last sort of, you know, 10, 12 years of my career, I used that one.
Yeah, very good. Now, Warnie, before we let you go, mate, we've got to ask about ISO life. We're all in it. But for you, no cricket, no footy, no poker, no golf. And should be no visitors. What are you doing? What are you doing in isolation, mate, to get through it?
Well, you can tick all the above, Joey, because I'm doing the right thing. Because that's my life, all that stuff.
Yeah, that is your life.
The footy's been great, watching the top 50-50. I've been watching that and AFL Live on Fox Sports. That's been awesome. I've loved that. I love watching the 89 grand final, and I love watching last night's game.
The 94. Yeah, I watched it too.
Round 7, it was a beauty. The golf, I'm really missing. And I was lucky enough, when this first sort of started a month ago, I thought, you know what, I think we could be in this for a while. So I removed everything from my lounge and put a golf simulator in there.
Of course you did.
Smart.
It's got 1,500 courses. So I'm about 110, so I've still got another 1,400 to go. So I hope we're in here for another 6 months or something in isolation to be good.
And Warnie, I'll follow you on Twitter, and I noticed last night that you dropped your favourite St Kilda players of all time. Lockett, Keogh, Rui, Hamill, Bakes, Hayes, Milne, Barks and Spud. Now, controversial to leave out our man, of course.
Must have been 11th.
Yeah, Lee Montagna. But what about Banger Harvey? That sort of lit up last night on the social media. What happened with...
brain fade.
And Joey. I was messaging Rui and I said, look, I'll leave Joey off because I'm speaking to him on the radio tomorrow, so I'm sure he'll bring it up if I leave him off. That was the plan for that one. So Joey was also always one of the best.
That's a blinder to miss that one. Great to catch up, mate. Really appreciate your time this morning and reminiscing about some of your career highlights. As Jay said, you could sit here and listen to you talk about your career for hours on end, but we really appreciate your time this morning and good luck with the other 1,400 golf courses that you got to play at home.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks, Emma. Thanks, Joey. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it.
Good on you, Warnie.
Thanks, mate.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
If you have to explain a joke, it's not particularly funny.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Triple M app.
Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.